All right, your spouse wants to put everything in stocks, but you can't sleep at night with that type of volatility. Your spouse drives 80 in a 65 mile an hour zone. You drive just under the speed limit. If this sounds familiar, this episode is just for you. Today, I'm going to show you exactly how to build an investment strategy when you and your partner have completely opposite risk tolerances, without fighting, without compromise that leaves you both unfulfilled and unhappy. And here's what most couples get wrong. They think they need one portfolio, one strategy, one approach. That's the fastest path to either financial regret or some marital tension, usually both. I've seen a $600,000 inheritance nearly destroy a marriage, not because of the money, but because they couldn't agree on what to do with it. This is Brian. I've been a financial advisor for over 25 years, and one thing I've discovered is a system to help deal with this particular situation. A system so simple, it solved their problem in one meeting. In this episode, you're going to learn three wealth decision principles to become smarter with money and an action plan to help you make better wealth decisions starting today. So let me tell you about Mark and Lisa. They walked into my office 3 years ago, married 15 years, just inherited $600,000 from Lisa's parents. This should have been my first warning sign. In 25 years of doing this work, I've learned something. When couples come in together for investment planning, one of three things happens. One, they completely agree on everything. This happens about 2-4% of the time. Two, minor disagreements easily resolved. This is about 18-20% of the time. And three, they discover they have fundamentally different relationships with money and risk. The meeting turns into a 45-minute discussion that occasionally borders on couples therapy. And this is about 80% of the time. Mark and Lisa, solidly at option three. So we did risk assessments separately because I've learned to do that after some awkward experiences earlier in my career. Mark's risk number came back at 72. High tolerance, comfortable with volatility. He'd been through multiple market corrections. He never panicked. He had a 25-year time horizon, did research, and wanted maximum growth. Lisa's risk number was 28. She needed stability. Market downturns gave her anxiety. She'd rather accept lower returns than watch their account drop 30%. The thought alone made her physically uncomfortable. When I showed them their results, they both looked a little confused. Mark spoke first. He said, "But we're investing the same money. Don't we need the same strategy?" That's when I said something that changed everything for Lisa and Mark. "So that's the problem," I told them. "You need a strategy you can both live with now. Because right now you're on completely different planets, like the men are from Mars, women are from Venus kind of situation. If we invest according to Mark's risk tolerance, aggressive, mostly stocks, Lisa will stress out every single time the market drops. She'll want to sell. She'll check the account constantly. She'll lose sleep. They'll have disagreements about investment strategy that will become a disagreement about their marriage. If we invest according to Lisa's risk tolerance, conservative, mostly bonds and cash, Mark's going to be frustrated. He's going to watch their money grow slower than it could. He'll read articles about market returns. He'll talk about the opportunity costs. He'll feel like Lisa's anxiety is costing them their financial future. Neither scenario is sustainable." Here's what most advisors would do. They'd split the difference, meet in the middle, build a moderate portfolio with 55% stocks, 45% in bonds. This sounds reasonable, right? It's actually kind of terrible, and here's why. This is going to make Mark feel like he's leaving money on the table. It makes Lisa feel more anxious than she needs to be. Nobody's happy. Nobody's sleeping well. It's the worst of both worlds disguised as compromise. So before we get into what we actually did with Mark and Lisa, let's talk about wealth decision principle number one. Risk compatibility matters more than risk tolerance. It's not about having the same number. It's about having a system that respects both numbers. Think about it like thermostats in a house. One person likes it at 68 degrees. The other wants it at 74. You don't set it to 71 to make everyone uncomfortable. You create zones. We have this discussion daily in our house. I like it 67 degrees, no more, no less. She likes it 62 degrees. But here's what we did with Mark and Lisa's $600,000. We split it into two separate accounts. Account number one is Lisa's peace of mind account, $300,000. 30% in stocks, 70% in bonds, low volatility, predictable, steady growth. Lisa checks this account and feels comfortable. Account two, Mark's growth account, $300,000. 80% in stocks, 20% in bonds, higher volatility, higher expected long-term returns. Mark checks this account and feels satisfied. They each get to manage their tolerance. They each get to sleep at night, and they each feel heard. But here's where it gets brilliant. We set up the accounts with automatic rebalancing between them. When account two drops in value during a market correction, it automatically rebalances. We pull money from account one, the stable account, to buy stocks at a discount. This does two critical things. First, it creates a systematic buying opportunity, buying low without emotion. Second, it prevents Mark from being tempted to time the market. The system does it for him. And when account two has significant gains, it automatically moves some profits to account one, locking in those gains in the stable account. Again, two things happen. First, it systematically takes profits, selling high without emotion. Second, it prevents Lisa from feeling like all of their gains could disappear in the next crash. Real quick, have you ever tried to compromise on investments with your spouse? Let me know in the comments what happened. After 3 years with this system, here's where they are. Account one grew from $300,000 to $385,000. Steady, predictable growth, exactly what Lisa needed. Account two grew from $300,000 to $485,000. More volatility, but higher returns, exactly what Mark wanted. Total, $870,000. But here's what really matters. They're both happy. They're both sleeping well, and they haven't had a single fight about their investment strategy in 3 years. Not one. Because we match their portfolio to their actual risk tolerances instead of pretending they should both want the same thing. So this leads me to wealth decision principle number two. Separate accounts can save your marriage and your money. This doesn't mean you go hide different financial accounts from your spouse, but having different investment accounts which match each other's risk tolerance makes a ton of difference over the long term. The goal isn't one perfect portfolio. The goal is a system that works for both personalities. When you stop forcing agreement and start building compatibility, everything changes. Now, let me give you a practical framework. This is how you figure out your actual risk capacity, not just your risk tolerance. There's a difference. Tolerance is how you feel about risk. Capacity is how much risk you can actually afford to take. So here's five questions to assess your risk capacity. So question number one, when do you need this money? If it's less than 5 years, your risk capacity is low. Doesn't matter how you feel about risk. If it's 5 to 10 years, you have moderate capacity. 10 to 20 years, moderate to high capacity. 20 plus years, high capacity. The math doesn't care about your feelings. Time horizon is everything. Question number two, how stable is your income? Do you have a government job, a tenured position, an established business? If it's very stable, you have higher risk capacity. Corporate job with regular salary, moderately stable. Commission-based, freelance, variable income, lower risk capacity. Your ability to recover from losses depends on your income stability. Question three, what other assets do you have? Significant retirement savings, home equity, emergency fund, high risk capacity with this money. Moderate retirement savings and emergency fund, you kind of have a moderate capacity. Small emergency fund and minimal assets, you have low capacity. If this money you're talking about with your spouse, an inheritance or a bonus, is your only asset, you have very low risk capacity. Don't put all your eggs in one basket if this is the only basket you have. And question number four, what are your current financial obligations? Do you have minimal debt, low expenses, no dependents, higher risk capacity? If you have minimal debt, low expenses, no dependents, you have higher risk capacity. If you have moderate debt levels, average expenses, some dependents, you have moderate capacity. If you have significant debt, high expenses, multiple dependents, you have lower capacity for risk. Risk capacity decreases as obligations increase. It's just simple math. And question number five, what's this money actually for? Long-term wealth building won't touch it for decades. You have high risk capacity. Retirement funding won't need it for 10 plus years, moderate to high capacity. Maybe it's for major purchases in 5 to 10 years. You have moderate to low capacity. And if you need it in 5 years or less, you have low capacity. Purpose determines your capacity. Now, here's how to score yourself. If you checked mostly the first options, your risk capacity is high. You can afford to take significant investment risk mathematically. If you checked mostly the second options, your risk capacity is moderate to high. You can take some risk but need some balance. If you checked mostly the third options, your risk capacity is moderately low. You need stability more than growth. Now compare this to your risk tolerance. If your risk tolerance is higher than your capacity, invest accordingly to your capacity. The math wins every time. If your risk capacity is higher than your tolerance, you have a choice. Invest accordingly to your tolerance for peace of mind, or work on increasing your tolerance through education. If they're aligned, perfect. Invest accordingly and sleep well. If you can't sleep at night, your portfolio is wrong, period. Returns don't matter if anxiety is destroying your life. Build a portfolio you can live with, not just one that looks good on paper. Before we wrap up, there's one mistake that tanks most couples' investment strategies. They build one portfolio and expect both people to adjust their emotions to match it. In my experience, it never works. You can't change how someone feels about risk by showing them historical returns. You can't logic someone out of anxiety they didn't logic themselves into. Instead, build a system that accommodates both risk profiles, like Mark and Lisa did. Two accounts, different allocations, automatic rebalancing between them. Both people are happy, both people sleeping better, better returns than either would have gotten alone. So here's what I want you to do. First, take the risk capacity assessment I just walked you through. Be honest. This isn't about what you think you should feel. It's about what you actually feel. Second, have your spouse take it separately. Don't discuss it beforehand. Third, compare your results. If you're more than 20 points apart, you need separate strategies, not a middle ground compromise. And fourth, comment below with the word risk, and I'll send you my free risk number assessment tool. It'll give you a specific risk number to go along with your risk capacity. If you found this episode valuable, use this framework. Share with a friend. If you know someone that's inheriting money, share this framework with them. It could be the difference maker in helping them build wealth with a solid plan that works for both spouses. And always remember, your money should work for your marriage, not against it. Once again, this is Brian, the Wealth Decisions Guy. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.